All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we just thank you this morning. Oh God, we just are so aware of your glory in this place, God, your presence in this place, and we are just overjoyed, God, that you would be with us, oh God. Oh God, that you would stay right here with us, God. That you would love on us the way that you love on us, that you watch over us the way that you watch over us. God, we're glad, as David said, glad to be in the house of the Lord, God. Glad to be together one more time. Glad for your love and your mercy and your grace. God, right now we're glad for your word, oh God. For without your word, God, how can we live? And so, God, right now I ask that we open up our hearts, open up our ears, oh, to be ready to receive. We rebuke any hindering spirit, any distraction, anything that would stand in the way of us receiving your life-giving word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning. I'm so glad to be here, and just so glad. This word has been just kind of like working on and through me for a while. And so it was funny last night. There's going to be a part one, part two. I need y'all to know, because I was trying to get everything in part one. I was trying to get everything in part one, and I wanted to get it all in part. And God said, you're going to do this today, and then I'm going to give you part two. And so we're going to talk about, God has been dealing with me for the longest about the wounded church. And you know how a lot of times we talk about the wounded world. But the wounded world needs a healed church to bring healing to a wounded world. But if the church is wounded, how can we bring healing to the world? And so as I was home, the Lord was dealing with me. I was walking through my living room, and he showed me a movie that I had seen. And you know how we've been talking about, you know, aiming, and this year, you know, aiming toward the kingdom of God. And he showed me this bow and arrow, and had been shot. And when it was shot into the heart. But what in the movie, when I saw the movie, this bow and arrow had been shot into this man's heart. I love those kind of Viking movies and stuff like that. Well, it had been shot into the man's heart. And what the man did was he broke off the part that's sticking out. If y'all know what that's called, I don't know what it's called, the shaft. He broke that off, but still within his heart was the point, okay? And the Lord said, this is a picture of my church. And it kind of like hit me like, what? And so he showed me that there was a lot of the church, how we're dressed. We look good on the outside. We look smelly. We look great. We worship and we praise. But when you open, if you were to open our shirt, you would see the point of the arrow still in our heart. And we've just learned how to break off the shaft so that nobody sees it, but the point is still in our heart. And the Lord really began to deal with me that is not the way that it's supposed to be. And sometimes we feel like because the point's in our heart and nobody can see it and we're braving it on, you know, we're walking brave, but we're bleeding, that it's a good thing. It's because I'm brave and I'm strong, but it doesn't mean that you're strong. It means that you haven't given your weakness to God. And remember what God said, in our weakness, we are made strong. In exposing that place where we've been hurt, in letting it be seen and letting it be known, and most of all, letting it be delivered. You know, the church becomes stronger, but we try to prove ourselves to each other instead of proving ourselves to God. And being honest with him, we can be very dishonest with one another. And we smile, and we're, how you doing? And praise the Lord, and it's good to see you. And on the inside, even the person we're saying it's good to see, there's something between us and that person. He also showed that there's some arrows that when they shoot the arrow, not only do they shoot the arrow, but they put poison on the tip. And so that when it goes in, and some of us are acting like we just had a flesh wound. So the arrow hit us and we just, but actually the arrow has penetrated. And where it has penetrated us, there has been poison put on the tip. And the first thing sometimes we'll think about is the person who shot the arrow. And I want us to really think about the person, the human that shot the arrow. And the problem with the church is that is the biggest poison of all, is how the enemy is a deceiver. And what he makes us do is fixate on the person that shot the arrow instead of the spirit that shot the arrow. And because we fixate on people, we forget that God said we wrestle not. I want us to hear this because this is such an important point that we need to get in warfare, in spiritual warfare, is that we wrestle not against Leihani. We wrestle not against Pastor David. We wrestle not against Monica. We wrestle not against Felicity. We wrestle not against Diane. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The enemy, his biggest way of deceiving us is having us put a human name on it. And once we put the human name on it, we cannot fight in any other way but carnally. And when we fight carnally, you can't fight a spirit carnally and win. And so we get a tendency of putting my husband, my kids, my employer, we put people's name on the warfare that's coming against us, the church. And in all actuality, the warfare coming against us is not about flesh and blood. Now, flesh and blood can be the host. And I want that to sink in. Come on. We've got to learn to refuse to be used by the enemy, because we can be the host. Because the spirit needs a host to operate through, whether it be God's spirit or the enemy's spirit. It needs flesh and blood is how it operates. But you've got to really decide that I refuse. Somebody say that. I refuse to be used by the enemy. Now, I mean, this got to be something that you get deep down in your spirit, and it gets to you, makes you fight mad if the enemy uses you. Because some days we just don't care. Some days we just put it all down and we're going to let the flesh all out. But it does not advance the kingdom of God. And so when God was showing me this, he was letting me know that he wanted the people to know that there's a bullseye that we need to be trying to hit. And that's healing in the body of Christ. It's not walking around looking like we're healed. It's really being healed. A lot of processing is going on, but processing has to be progressing. And I've said this many years, and I was thinking about how the Lord gave me this message so many years ago about the process that we kind of like in our walk, we will constantly say, nobody knows the timing. It's God's timing. It's, you know, I'll get done when I get done. God's timing is really quick. I want everybody to know that God's timing is not slow. It's him getting us into his timing that's slow. God's timing is let there be, and it is. But when he has to wait for us to let it be, I want y'all to hear it. When he has to wait for us to let it be, because he's not going to make us do anything. But when he has to wait for us to let it be, it can be a long time to get healed. It can be a long time to be delivered when God is waiting for me to let it be. But let it be, and it is finished was long ago. It is finished was said on the cross. Let it be was said in Genesis, a long let it be so. And all we have to do is let it be. But the problem is what gets in the way? Me. This flesh gets in the way, and the let it be is standing right there for it to be, but I'm just not letting it. Everybody said, let it be. Let it be in my life. So God said in this message that his kids given me, took me back to when I had leg wounds on my legs, and I thought that because the leg wound was on my leg, and I wish I had a picture. I have a pictures of it, but I wanted to show you guys, but we couldn't find them. But the leg wound was, when I first looked at it, the leg wound, there was a big bubble that came up on my leg, and a bubble that almost looked like a burnt, that I'd been burnt really bad. And I didn't know, we was camping, looked down, the bubble kept getting bigger. I thought I'd gotten into some poison ivy, something. I didn't know where it came from. So the bubble was getting bigger and bigger by the time we got home. And it looked like it had water underneath it. And I really didn't know what this was. And so, but it bust. And when it bust, I was fine. It was sore. It was sore. But I wasn't really that attentive to it because all of a sudden, it got this scab over it. And when it got the scab over it, it got a scab over it. So I thought that it was healing. And it had this scab over, but it was still sore to the touch. And I want y'all to hear everything I'm saying. It was still sore to the touch. But I thought it was healing because it had this scab over it. But as Apostle David kept looking at it, he was like, he was looking, he said, and it was kind of warm and red around the scab. And he was like, no. And he said, something's it's not. But to me, the scab was nice and hard. You know, I'm a scab picker. That's, you know, but anyway, that's neither there. But anyway, it was a scab that was hard. And so he was like, no. So we went in and we got to go to the doctor, and I think Lehani had got me a visit at the wound care. And so when we went to the wound care, when they looked at my leg, I'm thinking, you know, he's going to put a little cream on it. It's going to be okay. It's all right. And when he looked at it, his head looked like, the next thing he tells me is what he has to do is lift this scab. Now, if you're a scab picker, it doesn't even really kind of bother you too much. You just think he's going to, you know, flick, flick, and off comes the scab. But because this wound was infected, and the scab was hiding the infection and covering the infection, the scab was deep. And when he went to do this, it was not a flick of a fingernail that could get the scab off. He had to take this instrument, and as he took the instrument, he had to dig and lift this thick piece of scab off. And as I'm thinking, okay, we're going to get the scab off. He's going to put a band. I just want y'all to hear this process, because a lot of times we think we're wounded and I'm sorry, I fix it. But he lifted, and as he lifted it, I'm thinking, okay, process over, cream in, we're going to go home. Process was not over. He lifts it, and then he tells me that he has to, what is it called? Debride it. There's all our health people in here. Debride it, okay? What that meant was that he had to start scrubbing this infection. And not rubbing it, you guys, scrubbing it. So he scrubs it, and it's, if I thought the wound hurt in the beginning, it hurt worse. I need y'all to know it can hurt worse before it gets better. So he's doing that, and when he's doing it, what he's trying to do is get down to fresh blood. Now, I'm thinking in my mind, you make him a leg bleed. You're adding another wound. But he had to get the infection, and he had to get down to fresh blood. And this did not take a day. It took for this wound to heal on my leg. It took at least almost a year of going back and forth, back and forth. But I had to be deliberate and disciplined, and it didn't matter how I felt, because there were some days I didn't want to go, because every single time that I went, it seemed like we were starting over again. It seemed like every time I went back, here we go again. We're lifting, we're scrubbing, we're putting antibiotics. Every single time I would go back, it was like this same process, cleaning the wound out every single time. And I was thinking, when am I going to go and this thing's going to be done, you know? But it took almost a year. I couldn't miss. I couldn't be, because when I missed, what would happen was that scab would come back again. That infection would be there again. And now we had to start, you know, square one. And some of you guys, God says square one. You think that you're down the road, but because you're not going through with the process, you're hitting at the process, you're at square one. And so that place is still tender. And so until I got healed, understand this, a lot of times we say, I'm healed, I'm free, and I'm whole. But if I touch you, will you cry? That's what God wants us to know, is that as long as you can be touched there and cry there and yell there and run away from there, you're not healed. And you have to go through the process to get healed. You can touch this. It was funny because I had my stocking up this morning. My legging up this morning. I didn't know it was up. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you for seeing it. But right here, you guys can see the scar. Can y'all see this all on my leg? This is 10 times better than it was. Okay. But it's healed. I can slap it. I can hit it. It's healed. There's no pain. It doesn't make me cry. I don't get mad. I can slap it. It's healed. I hope y'all are getting what I'm trying to tell you this morning. That where you are healed, you can slap it. You can move it. Come on. Yes, there may be a scar there. But healed means there's no more aggravation there. There's no more pain there. It's healed. And God wants us to get an understanding, because the church is looking, the world is looking for healed people that can say, I've been healed. I've really been healed. And when they turn around and call you out your name, you say, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, all that's in me, bless the Lord, because I'm healed. I don't have to scream. I don't have to cry. I don't have to run away. I'm healed. The world is looking for true healing. They're not looking for that healing that has a little facade of healing. And then when you touch it, ouch! True healing is healed. So we're going to aim at bullseye healing this morning through the Word of God. And there's some people in the Bible that, as you look in the Bible from day one, you know, we're constantly in wonder. The people in the most wonder should not be in the most wonder, because we have the most knowledge, but the church a lot of times is in the most wonder. Why do people hurt you? The church is still asking that question. I can see the world asking that question, but the church is still asking, why do people hurt you? The church is still asking, why do we get wounded? From day one, when God put people in the garden and they sinned, from day one, we ask why there's dysfunction. From day one, God's family, after they sinned, became dysfunctional. Day one. After they sinned, they became dysfunctional. This first dysfunctional murder was between Cain and Abel. Dysfunctional family in the Bible. In the Bible. And we sometimes go, people do what people do when they don't follow God. They sin.
That's it. Amen.
It's no mystery.
Amen.
It's no mystery, you guys. People do what people do without God. They sin.
That's it.
People hurt people without God. They hurt each
Amen.
Other.
Amen.
People wound each other without God and without following his precepts and without loving the way that he loves. We will hurt one. We will. We will. I will hurt you. Did you hear Mother Ellen say intentionally? And not, some of us would say, not so, but so. Without you, nothing good about you but God. Without him on board, you are just as messed up as the next murderer, the next pervert. You're just as messed up. There's nothing innate in yourself that makes you not be like the murderer that's in jail.
That's right.
Somebody says, oh, but not me. Oh. That's not according to the word of God, that
Amen.
Self-righteous way that we come across.
Amen.
The only thing righteous about us is living for God.
Yes.
Only thing righteous. My first scripture, Isaiah 53:5 says, but he, perfect, didn't do nobody any wrong, didn't do anything wrong, but he, Jesus, was wounded for my next door neighbors, my husbands, my sister that gets on my nerves. He was wounded for our means all of us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilty. I'm guilty. Who else is guilty? He was bruised for our guilt and our iniquities. His chastisement, needful to obtain peace and well-being for us, was upon him. Was upon all our stuff. All our stuff. Don't you hate when people put their stuff on you? But all our stuff was placed upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed. With my stripes, they were supposed to be for me, but they wounded him, and it healed me. The pain that he took should have been mine, but he took it to heal me. I want us to really get this morning. I don't want us just another sound like Easter Sunday morning. This is everyday life. The stripes that he took has healed me. God's love. Nothing else but God's love. Nothing else but God's love. Through me, to me, for me, heals wounds. Nothing else but God's love heals wounds. We live in this fallen world, and we hear the saying all the time, hurting people hurt people.
Hallelujah.
Wounded people wound people. So we got wounded and we got wounders. And I'm here to tell you this morning that all of us have been both.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
All of us have been wounded. And all of us have wounded. Have wounded others. All of us are wounders. Sometimes we can't see that because our narrative is always about what somebody did to me. You hardly ever hear anybody get up and testify about the nasty and the ugly and the messed up stuff they did to other people. You hardly can get in a conversation of gossip where you're gossiping about yourself. Have you ever heard of just a gossiping session and say, yeah, you know what? I messed up. I took that girl's husband. I laid with her husband. I was a fornicator. I committed. Yeah, I went out to get it. We don't say that. We talk about the one that did it to me. But we don't talk about the me that did it to anybody else. And that's why we become wounders. Is because we're so wounded that we forget that, you know, the Bible says sometimes we reap what we sow. And in my life, when I've cried the loudest about being wounded, God has reminded me of those that I have wounded. He has reminded me of places that I've been in that when he reminds me, I'm telling y'all, I really did forget. But I will be on and on about that person that wounded me. But I forgot what I did to somebody else. Oh, yeah, this sweet Pastor Linda. No, this Pastor Linda's messed up, jacked up, did some crazy things. And if I had some of those witnesses that were here today, I would pray that they were saved so that they could forgive me. Because I did some things in my life when I look back, and I know that I wasn't an angel. And I'm still not an angel. There are people that are carrying wounds from their past. And what God wants is there are people that are carrying wounds in real time. Not just from their past, but in real time. Today, this morning, right now. Wounds that you can readily see. There's people that are wounded and you can readily see because their attitude and their response is so out loud. But then there's people that are hidden wounded because they carry them on the inside and they mask them so well with smiles, and but yet they're wounded, bleeding on the inside. People have been wounded from abandonment, from abuse, physical, mental. They've been wounded from betrayal. They've been wounded from rejection. They've been wounded from being looked over, forgotten, and disrespected, slandered. They've been wounded from being devalued and promises broken in their life, and they've been despitefully used. They've had breakups in their relationships between their husband and wife, between parents and children, in friendships. There's been divorce. There's been hurtful and devaluing words that have wounded people that they're still walking in. Somebody saying that you're never going to be nothing. You're not going to amount to any good. And those words were said over and over and over again. And no matter how they try to go forward, those words paralyze them. And they can't get past that wound. And they're wondering, why can't I get past this? And God says sometimes we're trying to do it on our own. And there's so many books out there, and there's so many people out there, that there's so many psychiatrists out there. There's so many people that sit us down and take us back to our past so they can figure out why we're acting this way in our present. But our future will never change until we give it to God. And I don't care what PH or whatever doctorate is, they can't heal you. Because the only one that can heal us is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah. We can be momentarily, and I've seen people go through a lot of psychiatry and counseling, and we've had it in our family, hours and hours, but still come out not healed. Come out functioning wounders. You know how they say functioning alcoholics, where you can drink and still, as that one man, the show, he can still fly the plane. Well, we're functioning wounded. We've said all the right answers. We went back in our past. We blamed mama, daddy, uncle, everybody that we could blame. We figured out what they did to us. But they, even in the figuring it out, it can't heal us.
Can't do it.
The only person. Now, remember, because, you know, I respect and honor doctors, nurses, and all those people. They have their place. But when it comes to healing, the doctor can't heal you. He can cut you. He can follow what the, you know, what the wisdom God gives him. But the true healer, same doctor cut one man and they get well, cuts another one, they die. So the thing is, the true healer is God. The true deliverer is God. And as we come into the kingdom of God, we begin to realize that, wait a minute, I've tried everything. Because we can come in the house of God and we can sing and worship and praise the Lord and come to the altar 20 times and we still, we will still find ourselves needing deliverance if when we come to the altar, we don't let God have his total way in our life. And I'm going to show you, sometimes we think we're letting God have his way. But when you really let God have his way, his word works. His word works. He is no liar. It's something, wherever I turned on, it was so much this week that I turned on the TV and T.D. Jakes was talking. He said, wherever we're bound and not set free is because of a lie that we're believing. Because what did the Bible say? Not what you just said in your mind, like, not, because what we'll do is start defending our place of woundedness. Not there, not where you say, oh, no, wait. That, but what the Bible says. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? It will do it. It will do it. So wherever there's a lie is where we're not set free, because the truth will set us free. God's truth will set us free. Now, I may seem adamant, and I may seem this morning like I might be grating y'all. I hope somebody, I'm not great. I'm just adamantly upset at the enemy, because now is the time for us to be set free. It says in Psalms 147:3, he, talking about God, talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he heals. He don't just touch you. When God touches you, he heals. He's not just touching to pet, to rub, to soothe. Can y'all hear me? He's not just touching to pet, to rub, to soothe. Baby, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right, baby. We do that. Baby, you're going to be all right. So he doesn't just touch. He touches to heal. His touch is a purpose. Is a finished touch. He touches to heal. He heals the brokenhearted. I said he heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds, curing their pains and their sorrows. Curing, not just addressing, not just saying, I understand that pain, not just calling it out, but he's curing our pains and our sorrow. We got to let God really touch us. Some of us have been so touched and abused by man that we back away from God's touch. His completeness of his touch, it comes to a lack of trust. Yes. And God is saying, you're healed. And you're like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. because somebody else touched me and I'm broken. But when God touches you, He heals. And He cures our pains and our sorrows. In Matthew, we've been talking about love, 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 love. We've been talking about, and some of us, love, when we get wounded by love, we want to gag ourselves on a spoon if we hear another message about love, because it's great in our nerves, but love is what heals. Not the phony, fluffy, crazy love of mankind. But the sincere love of our God. And so we've been listening to Pastor David talk about love, and the messages has been, I just keep going back over them and picking up different points from them and evaluating myself from them. And I'd be like, God, more love, teach me. You know how the disciples says, teach me to pray. I've been saying, teach me love. Teach me to love, God. Really teach me to, not some phony thing that I think in my mind, this is love. And then when you like my wound, like when you touch me in the wrong way or act a certain way, my love is like long handle spoon love. Teach me to love. In Matthew, Peter asks Jesus a question, and he comes up to Jesus. And it says, Matthew in the 18th chapter, in the 21st to the 22nd verse, Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me and I forgive him and let it go? As many as up to seven times? I mean, Peter thought he was saying something. He said, you know, up to seven times, maybe that sounds like a good, you know, Peter was feeling pretty like seven times. That sounds like I'm on the pinnacle of holiness right there. Seven times. And Jesus answered him and said, I tell you, not up to seven times, but seven times seven. I mean, 70 times, 70 times seven. When I was looking at this, we've heard this scripture so many times, but there was something that God pointed out in the scripture the other night when I was typing it, and I was like, oh my goodness. So he says, there was three words in there that hit me, and it said, I forgive him and let it go. Let it go. But when I begin to type it, let it go, the Holy Spirit says, I can hear him say, let it go. He says, the problem with my people is that they won't let them go. And I was like, what do you mean, God? He said, let it go. Let the trespass go. Let the hurt go. But don't let the person go. And I was sitting there saying, God, see, I have this thing that I have to prove it out in the Word of God. And I've had so many places where, you know, in my mind, I'll be, well, wait a minute, God. Wait. You know, when people are doing you wrong, sometimes you just got to let them go. You got to let that person go. They ain't coming up to my house. They ain't coming over. If I see them, I'm walking away. I done let them go. God said, that's not it. He said, true forgiveness is not by letting them go. It's by letting it go. Letting the trespass go. Letting the hurt go. He said, wonder if I let go of you. Wonder if I did that. He said, but on the cross, I didn't let you go. I let your trespasses go. I let your sins go. I let your hurts go. But I still loved you. And I'm still there for you. And I still let the sun rise on the just and the unjust. I don't let nobody go.
That's good.
I was sitting there and I was beginning to think down my little tablet of people. And I was like, Jesus, teach me to love. Teach me to love like you. Let it go. Let the trespasses go. He says, don't hold it to their charge. Don't hold what they did to their charge. He said, I did it. On the cross, I said, Father, forgive them. And that next sentence that I have argument for a lot, for they know not what they do. I usually have a big argument for that one. For they know not what they, God, they know. They know exactly what they're doing. They know when they said that wasn't cool. They know when they said that hurt me. They know when they did that hurt me. They know when they cheated and lied. They know exactly what. My little carnal mind. It says, Father, forgive them. God could have said it. God could have said that on the cross. But that love, that kind of love was what kept him up on the cross. If for 1 minute he had said, they know exactly what they're doing. they know. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know the ramifications of their sins. They don't know to the extent of their sin. They don't know the death and the wages. They don't know what they're doing. If they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do it. They really wouldn't do it if they knew. If we knew. Oh, God, if Eve had known. When she ate that apple, she could have seen all that. If she had known, she'd be thrown out the garden. If she had known that she would have pain in childbirth. If he had known, he had to work with the sweat of his brow. If he had known the evil that was coming and the murder and that his son was going to murder. If he had known, if there was just a knowing, just a view. Father, forgive. People do because they do what they feel, not what they know. That's what people do what they feel. Right. Not, I feel angry, so I kill you. That's it. Not what you know. Yeah. Not that you know that you live by the sword, you die by the sword. On, those things that is coming back into your life. People do what they feel, not what they know. Because if they know, they wouldn't do it. In Romans 13 and 8, it says that, and Pastor's been talking about this, it says, keep out of debt and owe no man anything. Now, that's such a great scripture because the first thing I thought about was, money. I don't want to be in debt. I don't want to owe anybody anything, okay? I want all my bills paid. That's usually something that we'll grab hold of, okay? That makes us feel good, okay? But then it goes, except to love one another. Uh-huh. This is what we need to owe, to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices loving, how many of our practicing loving others have fulfilled the law relating to one's fellow man, meeting all its requirement. Do you know we can love those that love us, or love those that's cool with us, or love those that agree with us, love those that are like us, but to really practice love, you got to practice on those that are not like you, that don't love you like you want to be loved. That's practicing love. You don't know you really love until you come up against somebody that's an adversary. You don't know you really love until you come up against your enemy. You don't know you really have God's love, come on, until you're with someone that's not like you. And some of us were like, oh, I'm loving. If we said how many people are loving, we'd all go, but we love those that love us back. We love those that agree with us. We love those that walk like us, talk like us, you know, have the same swag as us. We love those that fit into our circle. But what about those that don't? That's when you know, and that's where you need to practice. And that's why you're put in this Holy Ghost church washing machine to be agitated so that you can learn to love everybody. Loving everybody. Our relatable Jesus, he was wounded. He's not asking us to do something that he doesn't know about. He was wounded. In John 1 and 11, it said, he came to that which belonged to him, to his own, his domain, his creation, his things, his world. And they who were his own did not receive him. They did not welcome him. He knew what it was like to be wounded. In Hebrews 12 and 3, it says, just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon upon and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. God said, sometimes we're just getting weary in loving and weary in loving everybody and doing good to everybody. But he said, as we come into the church, now out in the world, yes, but as we come into the church, God says we need to remember. He says, just consider what he went through, how there was such hostility toward him and insult toward him. He said, just remember so that you won't get weary. That when we're getting weary of loving, remind ourselves that he did it. He came. We didn't welcome him. He came. We mocked him. We crucified him. That's because we would like to go back to the day when he was crucified, but we're crucifying him even right now in this day and time. He said, when we sin and we crucify him afresh, God is saying over and over, we don't think about what he has done for us. The sinless for the sinful. And there's not nobody in here that is outside of that sinful. God wants us to know, think about him so that we won't grow weary or exhausted. I'm tired of loving people. I'm tired of people that don't respect me. I'm tired of people that don't see what I do. I'm tired of giving and 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 giving. And God has given us every day, all day, every day. He doesn't stop giving us. And sometimes we don't even say, thank you, Jesus. But he still keeps on giving. In 1 Peter in 2:23 and 24, it says this. Listen to this, you guys. When he was reviled and insulted, he did not revile or offer insult in return. That's my husband said, just what we say we want to be like Jesus. This is Jesus. When he was reviled and insulted, ain't nobody going to disrespect me. When he was reviled and insulted, he did not revile or offer insult in return. When he was abused and suffered, he made no threats of vengeance. He made no threats. You know, we have a tendency to remind people of how we used to be. You don't know how I used to be. If you had done this 2 years ago, if you had done this 5 years ago, you would be standing here today. He made no threats of vengeance. You guys, we need to stop reminding people or even reminding ourselves of how we used to be. We need to be so glad that we're so far from it. We don't even want to remember that place where we used to be. Because if I remember, I just might step back. I don't even want to talk about that, who I used to be, because who I used to be was not good. Why do I put it up in front of people like it was so powerful, it was so great, and if you knew me like I was, you wouldn't be talking to me like you're talking to me, like I'm the big bad somebody. No. God wants us. I do that to Pastor David teasing, but God told me teasing can turn into. I'm always telling him I'm going to beat him down. But there's women that beat people down. Do you know, we don't know when the enemy's going to jump into a statement that we've made. What we speak, there's life or death in it. Sometimes we play too much, and we wonder why the enemy got all up into us, because we've been playing with him. See, I'm talking to Pastor Linda, and I'm hoping y'all receive what Pastor Linda has received, okay? It says, he made no threats of vengeance. But this is the part I love. But he trusted himself and everything to him who judges fairly, content to let God set things right. You guys, this is a powerful statement and a precious statement. All at the same time, powerful and precious. That even though they were doing all this stuff to him, he didn't do it back to them. But it says he entrusted himself. And as I was sitting there, God said, the problem is my people don't trust me. We want to handle it because we don't think he's going to handle it right. We don't think he's going to handle it quick enough. We don't think he's going to handle it good enough. We don't think he's going to handle it where I can see him handle it. Sometimes he's handled things that you don't even know that he's handled, but you're upset because you didn't get to see him handle it. You wanted to see them go through hell. You wanted to see them have a bad day. You wanted to see them be punished. And you don't trust that he's going to let you see it. God said, but Jesus, he trusted himself. On that, he trusted himself to God. And he let God handle it and knew that God was going to do what was right. Yes. He believed God. Yes. He knew that God was going to set things right. Do we believe that God's going to set things right? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Or do we see that one that's got on our nerves and they're still walking around and it looks like they're doing pretty good? Looks like they done bought a new car. That looks like they done got a raise. Look like they got new friends. Look like they moving on about their business. And I'm bound. And I'm like, it looks like everything's going good in their life. I don't see nothing bad, but I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I'm hurting. Because God said you won't let it go.
That's it.
And you won't entrust yourself. And trust me with them. And trust me with you.
Yes.
But Jesus, this is how Jesus did it. You say, how did Jesus do it? That's how he did it.
Yes.
He trusted himself to God, the just God who judges fairly, who judges fairly, who judges fairly. We say, that's not fair. That's not fair. They're getting over. They're getting by. That's not fair. That's not fair. But you've gotten over and you've gotten by many times. Somebody would say that's not fair about something you've done in their lives. Says he personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree as on an altar. And he offered himself. How many of us are willing to offer ourselves? We'll say, Jesus did it. I don't have to get up on no cross. Sometimes you got to realize loving is sacrifice. Loving is not all fluff. Loving is, it says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Nope. There's a cross for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a cross for you and me.
That's
It says, and he offered himself on it that we might die, cease to exist to sin, and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. By his wounds you have been healed. Nothing you've done. By his wounds you have been healed. His wounds have become our healing. Now this right here is something, I love God, how all week long, I don't care what happened, he kept saying, I'm going to show you something else. And I'm going to show you something else. And you're not getting it yet. I'm going to show you something else. So God takes me to this scripture, y'all. And so we've been hearing Pastor David, the last thing, you know, he was talking about, I owe you love. I owe you. Turn to somebody and say, I owe you. Not the one you love, okay? Somebody else. Somebody else that you don't hang around all the time. I owe you love. I owe you love. I owe you love. Okay, so he'd been talking about that. Then he said, came with that, you know, the scripture that shows we have love and what God tells us to do. He says to pray for them that despitefully use you. Do good to them. Pray for them. So, you know, I was thinking, and hear this prayer. God takes me to this prayer, y'all. And I want to see what y'all feel about it. We're going to go out on this note right here. So I go in Psalms 109. Starting at 1 through 12. Here's a prayer by David. And I want y'all to get this in your mind. David, man after God's own heart. Yeah. He says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, O God of my praise, keep not silent, for the mouths of the wicked and the mouths of deceit are open against me. They have spoken to me and against me with lying tongues. They have compassed me about also with words of hatred and have fought against me without a cause. Has anybody ever went through that? Without a cause. In return for my love, they are my adversaries. But I resort to prayer. And they have reward. And what should we do? It says pray for them that despitefully use us. And they have rewarded and laid upon me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set a wicked man over him as a judge, and let a malicious accuser stand at his right hand. When the wicked is judged, let him be condemned. And let his prayer for leniency be turned into sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office and charge. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continual vagabonds, as was Cain, and beg. Let them seek their bread and be driven from their ruined homes. Let the creditor and the extortioner seize all that he has, and let strangers and barbarians and foreigners plunder the fruit of his labor. Let there be none to extend or continue mercy and kindness to him, neither let there be any to have pity on his fatherless children. Let there be none to, going on down, 12 to 21, let there be none to extend or continue mercy and kindness to him. Neither, y'all, I want y'all to hear this prayer. Neither let there be any to have pity on his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off. And in the generations following, let their names be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered by the Lord. And let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may be cut off, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because this man did not earnestly remember to show mercy, but pursued and persecuted the poor and needy man and the broken heart, he was ready to slay. Yes, he loved cursing, and it came back on him. He delighted not in blessing, and it was far from him. He clothed himself also with cursing, as with a garment, and is seeped into his inward life like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him as the raiment with which he covers himself, and as the girdle with which he girdeth continually. Let this be the reward of my adversaries from the Lord, and of those who speak evil against my life. But you deal with me and act for me, O God, the Lord, for your name's sake, because your mercy and loving kindness are good. Oh, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded and stricken within me. Did y'all hear that prayer? Now, you know what? In a day, there are some people that this prayer would have sounded pretty good. My heart that angry, my heart that mad, that my heart that wounded. But you hear this prayer coming from David, mad after God's own heart. And I wondered, I said, God, that don't make no sense. Why'd you put that in there and then tell me to pray for them and tell me to love my enemies? And then you, King David, man after God's own heart, he gets to pray that they would be fatherless and that their names would be stricken out and forgotten and that they would not eat. And he gets to say all this. God said, he gets to say all that. He does get to say all that. And at the end, he gets to tell you why he's saying all that. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded. This comes from a wounded heart. This lets us know what happens when we let our hearts get wounded. This is the nasty. And somebody might say, it's not nasty, but it's the vengeance from a man who is saying, do all this stuff, but the same man that killed a man and put him on the front line after he slept with his wife and got his wife pregnant, the man comes back from war, mighty man, loved David, and David sends him back to the front line so that he wouldn't be caught that he had slept with his wife. This same man who has, in Psalms 51, has to ask God to forgive him, have mercy on me. This same man that needed mercy when someone does something to him. This comes from a wounded heart. And that's why God said in Proverbs 4:23, keep and guard your heart. Keep and guard your heart. Because that same stuff will come out of your heart and my heart. We want to see them dead. We want to see them gone. We want to see them hurt. We want to see them broke. We want to see them in prison. We want to see that same stuff will come out of our hearts. Yes. If we don't keep and guard our hearts. Yes. It says, keep and guard your heart with all diligence. With all diligence. That means have an expectation that somebody is going to wound you in this life. Have an expectation that somebody's going to hurt you. Have an expectation that somebody's going to lie on you. Somebody's going to gossip about you. Somebody's going to do. Have an expectation, but also have a godly response because you have kept your heart. You've made your heart ready so that when it comes, you can respond in the love of God. Hatred and bitterness and those things, they do not do anything but make you as worse or worser than the one that you're praying against. It builds up in your heart. He says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. He said, the Lord is close, and I want y'all to hear this. The Lord is close to those who are of a broken heart and saves such as are crushed with sorrow for sin and are humbly and thoroughly repentant. God is close to us when we have a broken heart. And when we are crushed with sorrow for sin. Now remember this, we're crushed with sorrow for sin. I'm crushed with sorrow for the sin of me. And I'm crushed with sorrow with sin for my brother. You can't pray for your brother if you hate your brother. You can't pray for your brother if you're mad at your brother. You can't pray for your brother if you're done with your brother. You can't pray for him. And God is saying we should be crushed by sin, sin period. Whether it's my sin or your sin, whether sin has hit you today or sin has hit me, we should be crushed. We should be crushed when our brothers and sisters are caught up in a fault or are caught up in sin. We should be crushed even if that sin is against us. They have allowed the enemy to use them. Remember what I said in the beginning? I refuse to be used. I should be crushed when my sister is used. I should be crushed when she's fooled into believing that what she's doing is right, but it goes against the world. I should be crushed, not mad at her, not done with her, not through with her, not just totally, I'm through with it. No, because you know what God showed me? What we forget is we get individualistic in the house. All of a sudden, we are no longer a body when we're mad. When we're mad, we're no longer a body. I am Linda Louise Jenkins when I'm mad. When I'm with Jesus, I'm Living Faith Christian Center and the body of Christ. But when you make me mad, I'm Linda Louise Jenkins by myself. That's the problem. That's why I can cut you off. Because when I remember that I am the body, part of the body. It's just like this leg right here that had the bruise on it. What I'm going to do is chop it off. I'm not going to have to see how far I'm going to get. Now, we think we're going to get far. But see how far I'm going to get if I say, you know what? Big old bruise on wound on my leg. Hurting my leg. I ain't gonna use you no more, leg. I ain't even gonna pay you no attention, leg. You get away from me. See how far I get. See how far down the road I get without this leg. See, no matter what we think, we're all a part of the body. And when we cut one another off, we are losing a part of the body. Amen. That's important. Amen. You know what? We've learned, though, in the world that you can take your appendix out and you can take different parts and you'll still live, but not to optimum, not the way God created you. There is still something missing. Don't you dare let them fool you and think, I can take this out, that out, that, and you'll still live. And a lot of us are living in Christ, but not abundantly in Christ.
Hallelujah.
We're living beneath our privilege.
Hallelujah.
Because we've cut something off or cut something out or let something go because it was bothering us, because it was wounding us, because it hurt us, but it's still part of the body. And God has given us the spirit of reconciliation. What do I do with my wounds? I give them to the Lord and I let him do what he has to do. I let him take that scab off. I let him dig down and scrub me to get to fresh blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Somewhere I've forgotten about the blood that cleansed me. I've forgotten that I need cleansing. And I look at my sisters and brother like, you dirty thing, you awful thing, you horrible thing. And I forget that. But for the grace of God. Just as dirty.
Thank you,
oh God.
Hey.
Remind us of your mercy.
Thank you,
remind us of your grace.
Thank you,
remind us, yes, we have been wounded. But remind us also that we have been wounders. It's only severe, sincere,
yes, Jesus.
Godly love.
Thank you.
Love that's been truly received. turned on my TV again, and I hear T.D. Jakes say, "How dare you snub your nose at anyone when they're in their day of darkness?" What you should be doing is thanking God for the day of light that you have and praying that light comes to them and through you. And through you. Let me be the light. That when my sister's going through darkness, when my brother's going through, let me be the light. Let me be the love. Let me extend, God, what you have extended to me. God loves heals. And we walk around and we say these funny things and we say, God loves heal. Yes, but I'm not God. I'm telling y'all, what we say sabotages our strength. Because we say things, but I'm not God or I'm not Jesus. God can do that, but I'm not God. The word says this, though, that Jesus is God. And Jesus said, I and my Father are one, and the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the work. And then the word goes on to say that Jesus Christ, the hope of glory that dwells in me, so that if God is in Jesus and Jesus can do it and Jesus is in me, come on, then I can do it. Then I can do it. We got to stop saying what we can't do. We got to acknowledge, I just don't want to do it right now. And when we acknowledge that, that's when we got to give ourselves to God. You know, you can ask God for the want to. Don't just end it with, because I don't want to. Or I don't feel like it. Period. Let's go. I don't want to. I don't feel like it, comma. But Jesus, help me to want to. Help me to want to. Because I want to please you. I want to be like you. I want to stop saying I want to be in your image, but I'm nothing like you. I don't reflect your love. I don't reflect your mercy. I don't reflect your grace. And I have the excuse because I'm not like God. God said we got to get rid of that excuse because we're called to be like him. We're called to walk like him. We're called to talk like him. We're called to live like him, and most of all, we're called to love like him. We're called to love like Jesus, and it's really the only thing that's going to heal our wounds. Do you know that a wound is contagious? That wounds have went into family lines for generations? We have wounds in our families that we're still trying. Families divided, families cut off, families not even seeing or talking or loving what because of a wound. Yes. Yes. You guys, we need to take it seriously. Yes. We need to take it seriously, and we need to be careful about, remember what I told y'all about catching them balls that aren't your balls to catch? Y'all need to start letting things that come that's supposed to wound you, let it fly. Learn how to duck. Learn how to roll. Learn how to get out of this way instead of just standing there wide open. Some of us are not just wide open. We got our hands curled for the ball. God is saying, stop catching these balls because they don't just stop with you. These wounds, they stop with you. There are wounds in my children's life that have been passed down from me and my husband's life, that have been passed down from my parents' life. You guys, come on. They got enough handicap. They don't need any more of ours. People we hate, people we don't like. They don't even know why they're hating them. When I was growing up, somebody hurt my mama. She came home. She talked about who was hurting them. She didn't like them. I didn't like them. That was not my wound. That was not mine to carry. We let people carry stuff. We pass them on. They don't know what to do with that. All they know, we pass them on to our husbands. The Lord told me, stop inciting your husband. Stop going home and inciting. When I was first in the Lord, I would go home and tell my husband, anybody that mess with me, because he going to take care of it. Two things happened. God told me, you need to take care of it like the word said. Right. You need to take care of it. And then my husband made me live up to it. I said, honey, but they don't receive me. They not. He said, you go back out there and you take care of it. And I've learned, though, that one thing is I want my husband to be powerful and mighty man of God. I don't want to be carrying all this. See, the devil wounds me so I can. What did he do at the tree, y'all? What did he do at the tree? He talked to Eve and she passed it on to him. I don't want to be that. I don't want him wounding me, and I pass my wounds on to him. And then all of a sudden, I'm still singing hallelujah in the house of the Lord, and my husband all gone out because he's sick of the church, sick of the people in the church, sick of this fake stuff going on. I've incited him. Somebody needs to hear this morning, because God said somebody's really close to that line. And I'm not saying for one minute that you don't have your husband pray for you or your wife pray for you. But you be careful how you take that to them. Taking it out of your anger, taking it out of your misery, taking it out of what that ook in your heart. You're laying that ook on them. Remember I told you, don't know nobody through what somebody else says. There's some people that they're good friends of mine, but other people can't stand them. There's something in that other person and them, they can't get along. But me and them, we get along fine. But if I had to listen to them, I would not have had such a good friend in the friend I have. You don't go on relationships with other people by what other people tell you. Because sometimes that's coming out the madness, the angry, the woundedness of their heart. Love. These things I'm telling you guys, God says somebody needs to grab it this very day. Because the wounds that's in our heart, they're going down. They're going past you. They're going to your husband. They're going to your children. They're going to the neighbor next door that's been looking at you and wanting to be a part of what you are. But all of a sudden on your mad day, you're hashing out all your wounds. I don't want no part of that. She needs to know, they need to know, I have a Savior. My husband needs to look at me and see, she tried it. She tried him, and he works. Just like he said he would. When he tells me, you go back and you talk to them, sometimes I haven't wanted to go back. And my husband says, no, you go back. You're going back. You're going back, Linda. You need to go back. And I go back. And I do what God says to, and I get that spirit of reconciliation. Now it proves to me that God is right. Now it proves to him that he did right by telling me, men, don't you be petting us. Don't let us women go to hell, because we're emotional. And somebody's about to get mad at me right now, but we're emotional. And we can let our emotions get all out the way. And the next thing you know, you're doing something out of God's will just to placate us. In the Bible, look at Abraham. Abraham, Sarah came to Abraham and she said, I ain't had the baby like God said. So you let Hagar have the baby. And as soon as he let Hagar have the baby, she got mad at Abraham. She incited Abraham to do something, but then when he did it and she didn't like the outcome, she was, man, I'm giving you a little wisdom this morning, man. Don't let me go to hell because I'm emotional. Don't let me go to hell because I'm emotional. Don't let me go to hell because I'm leaning on feelings instead of faith. Give me my faith back when I'm leaning on feelings. Give me my faith in the word back when I'm leaning on feelings. Tell me what the word of God says for me to do. And yeah, I might say you don't love me. And yeah, I might say you don't care about me. But that's okay. Obey God rather than Linda. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Some wisdom in the house, because God's showing me that there's some fine lines people are about to cross because of how they're letting their woundedness. affect them and to affect others. Don't let your little girl and your little boys, they run around there loving the house of God, and the next thing all they hear you talking about, three people that hurt you in the house of God. Now they don't never want to go to the house. You know one thing my children can say? I'm not proud of the fact that we argued, but my kids, when we was going through a lot, they was like, we didn't even know nothing was wrong. We never saw y'all doing that. That was one thing we never did. We wasn't in front of our kids arguing, putting each other down. It was always, let's talk about this in the room. Let's get this together. I'm not going to make you look bad. I'm not. We're both their parents. Now you're making them choose. And they don't need to choose. They're not even mature enough to choose. You're putting a weight on them that shouldn't be on them because of your woundedness. Hear what I'm saying. Somebody please hear what I'm saying this morning. God wants us to hear. He wants to heal our woundedness. He wants to deliver our woundedness. Our woundedness can be delivered, but we are going to have to let God do some painful, not on the person, not on that person, but it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Oh God, can I get to that nothing? Can I get there? Can I get there? So we need to ask us, can I get to that and nothing shall offend me? Nothing. What? Can y'all imagine? Have you ever got to a place with somebody where they don't offend you no more? Jesus. And like Pastor said, you're like that duck and it just rolls off. I mean, they could do something. So they do the same thing all the time and you can't change it. They say the same thing all the time and you can't change it. But for the longest, you don't let it upset you. But all of a sudden, you realize, Lord, you just got, I'm going to leave them in your hands. But God, I just need you to get me to a place where it just rolls off my back. And have you ever got to a place where it just, they do it again? It don't even touch your mind. It don't even sway you. And the peace that, have you ever had peace? Now, I'm not talking about nasty peace. We call it peace when we say, you don't even affect me. You don't even mean a thing to me. You could die and I wouldn't. I ain't talking about that. I'm saying this peace that comes over your mind that you know what? That's an area that my sister or brother just need to come. Lord, help them right now. Hi, sis. How you doing, sis? I love you, sis. What can I do to help you, sis? And that peace, it's just like a peace. It's that ook is gone. That peace, just peace. Have you ever just walked in a room and the whole room, there ain't nobody in there that you want to run away from, no one in there that you know, it's just peace because there's just that peace that passes. I should be mad. I should be upset. I should be just totally want to get away from these people. But that peace that passes, oh.
Nobody knows it. Hey.
Thank you, God. You guys, this is something God wants us to get, because it's what's going to save the world. It's love that saves the world. That kind of love. That love that's undeserving. That love that means you still love me after I did that to you. You came over and you helped me even when I did that to you. You talked that nice to me when I talked crazy to you. That's the kind of love that saves the world. As we stand today, God wants you to know you don't have to stay wounded. You don't have to stay wounded. You don't have to stay in that place what mama did to you, what daddy did to you, what sister did to you, what the lady on the job did to you, what that woman did on the bus stop. You don't have to stay in these places. Remember I said that you can let it go. And remember, it doesn't have to be the long process that we're making it.
That's right. That's right.
according to the quickness of God. Yeah. Remember what I said? It can be like this. I've seen people walk up to the altar, put down their cigarette and their dope in one church setting, put it all down and never pick it back up again. I've seen others that go through the journey of picking it up, putting it down, picking it up, putting it down, picking it. And you know when it's really let go? Is when it's really gone? Is when they really let go. That's the holy. It's not a time. It's about a position of the heart. Let go. Let it go. Let it go by faith. Let it go. What am I holding on to you for? Holding on to you is holding on to me. Let it go. Let it go. Let. Give it over. Let. Here it is. Let. I'm not holding it. Let it go. I don't know what's going to happen afterwards. I don't know how I'm going to feel, but let it go. Love, real love, it lets go. And it gives it back to God, the one who judges fairly. The one who knows what to do with me and knows what to do with you. The one who knows how to take that scab off and knows how to debris it without killing me. Give it back to him. This morning, if there's anybody, you guys, because we can stand and we can think about everybody but ourselves. Oh, I know that word's for Sally. And I know it sure enough was for Billy. But it's for me. You know, my mom and dad, I could hear their voices last night as a song they used to sing. And the words was, it went like, "Lest I forget thy blood for me. Lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy blood for me. Lead me to Calvary." And what they were saying was, when I get all snobby, and when I think I got it all together, and when I think I don't need no help and everybody else does, lest I forget your blood for me. If there was nobody else on this entire earth, he would have still had to die for me. Thank you, Lord. Lest I forget all the agony he went through. Pastor David says, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. Lead me back to Calvary. Lead me back to what you did for me. Lead me back to the need of a Savior in my life. Lead me back to where I was so dirty and nasty. I remember that place, but that your hand reached down and picked me up. And what you have extended to me, oh God, help me never get so uppity and so clean that I can't remember from where you bought me from to forgive my sister, to forgive my brother, and to extend your hand of love to all of the body." Father, we thank you right now for those that have come to the altar. And you know what, God? I thank you for those that stayed in their seats. I'm praying that this word on that day, on that day, we pray we don't wound, but we're going to wound, y'all. We're going to wound somebody. Maybe this very week. In the way we say something, the way we do something. But Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, help us to walk in grace. Or we're going to be wounded this week. God, let us not count people out or push them away because they've wounded us. But God, let us bring their hearts to you, God. Let us bring their wounded hearts to you, God. We ask you, God, to help them where they're wounded. Help them when I remind them of somebody that's wounded them, God. Help them when something I did reminded them of something that was done. Oh, God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would deliver our wounded hearts, God. Deliver us, God, so that as your word says, after we have been strengthened, now we can go strengthen our brethren. After we've been strengthened, after we've been delivered, we can truly go and bring deliverance to others. We can say, I know what God can do. I know what prayer can do. And girl, I know what love can do. God, in the name of Jesus, help us to believe in love. Help us to believe in love. Your love, your love. Your amazing, everlasting, life-giving love. Help us to believe in love and help us to share that love in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we're so glad that your love sees beyond everything, God. You see our hearts, God. You said even if our hearts condemn us, you are greater than our hearts. You know, when we come to the altar, sometimes the enemy is saying, you don't mean it, you don't mean it. This is your fifth time coming up here. But God sees your heart. He knows your heart. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask right now for what she's asking, God, for the place that she's asking more love, for that place where she's asking for true forgiveness. Where she's asking to let go and let you have your way, God. Oh, God, today, God, the determination that's in her heart, God. God, you receive it and empower it with your power. God, where she doesn't have the strength, you have it. And God, where she doesn't have the power, you are it. Oh, God, be the power in her life. Be the power in her life to love, to forgive, to live your word out loud in Jesus' name. I pray over the whole congregation this morning, because even as we stand, the Lord is telling me that even in those that haven't come up, there are passed downs, that we have passed down woundedness. What can we do about that? Do we continue to pass it down, or do we turn and start passing down life? God, so today we can make a determination, no more woundedness, no more pain, no more passed down, no more passed down to generations that have to live with what we've went through. They haven't went through it. They've just heard about it. They're going through it through you, but they're going to go through life now, because you're going to pass down life. And that more abundantly. My children shall live in life, because I'm a pass down life. Sometimes we have to go back to our children and say, you know what? What I told you about daddy and how I put him down and what I told you about mama and how I put her down, I'm so sorry. That was out of my woundedness. That was out of my hurt. Go. Know your father for yourself, not because of what I know. Your father for yourself. Know your mother for yourself. Know your daddy, come on, for yourself, not to pass down out of my ugliness, not out to pass down of my woundedness. Some of us need to go back and give our children a chance.
Thank you,
to not have to walk in that same woundedness.
Yes.
Give a friend a chance. You done told that friend something about Miss Mary. Miss Mary